Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I've told you before many times that I try to be a good person in life, but I've sort of given up on the notion of being a perfect person. There are just things that I enjoy that a perfect person would not enjoy. There are things that I revel in that they, I guess, might be more... more evolved person might not take such pleasure in, but I am kind of what I am here. And so admittedly from that vein, I'm going to kind of begin today with what can probably be characterized as maybe a little bit of trolling against the Florida Gators. I'll totally acknowledge that. I'll totally admit that. And yet I still think it's kind of fun here from time to time. So Gators fans won't like this. Georgia fans probably will. But every so often, every now and then, we have a duty. We have to put Florida coach Dan Mullen in his place. We sort of have to remind him of kind of what the pecking order is here when it comes to the SEC East and sort of the college football world in general. Because let me remind you, there is a certain degree of satisfaction that Dan Mullen has seemingly taken in his first couple years there in Gainesville as the head coach of the Florida Gators, even though the results, especially against Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs, and this is for Mullen, a head-to-head with Smart that even predates his time as being Florida head coach, but despite the fact that Mullen's record against Kirby, Mullen's record against Georgia is not very good, there's still sort of a sense of satisfaction that Mullen seems to have with the job that he's done with the Gators. Let's go back to after this year's edition of the cocktail party. Florida lost again, but apparently Dan Mullen was content to kind of take a little bit of solace in what might sort of seem like a moral victory. Mullen was pretty interesting in some of his words after that game from back in November. Let me give you a reminder of how that sounded back in the fall.
Dan, Georgia's kind of been the standard in the SEC the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Two cracks at them now. Overall, you've done great against rivals, but this one's eluded you so far. Mm-hmm. How close do you feel Florida is to reaching their level as a program?
7 points.
Do you use this game as a measuring stick for where you guys are at overall?
No, we're 7 points behind Georgia. I know that.
So 7 points, he says. Hey, Florida fans, I got good news for you. I know you've seen your team lose to Georgia 3 years in a row, 2 years with me, and I know you maybe saw me get my brains beat in as the Mississippi State coach going back to a 2017 when I came into Athens, but I've got news for you. I've closed the gap. Personally, against Kirby Smart, I've closed the gap. Collectively, we as the Florida Gators have kind of closed the gap here. We have all brought it to bear. We're just 7 points shy of the Georgia Bulldogs. That was the word that Mullen gave you back then. Then back in January, he goes and speaks at the halftime of the basketball game. Once again, big talk. The audio quality on this is not
the unbelievable atmosphere and the home field advantage you created for us down at the Orange Bowl, down at Miami, to get another great win. And I promise you this, that's just the beginning. We finished the top 10. And that's the beginning. We came back to bring the Gators standard back, which is a team that's going to compete for and win SEC national championships all the time. And that's what we're going to be.
So what I was going to say is the audio quality on that's not great because it was recorded from like the halftime deal at the O'Connell Center there. But you hear this more big talk coming from Dan Mullen of, hey, we're going to win SEC championships. We're going to return the Gator standard. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And Florida fans just lap it all up. They're just eating it up. Dan Mullen's apparently their guy. But what's funny about all of this is, whether it be closing the gap on Georgia or bringing back championships to Gainesville, I say this a lot. That when it comes to things like this, if that kind of thing is going to happen, if we're on our way to seeing that kind of success for a program like Florida or really any program, recruits will always be the first to know. They will always be the first to kind of buy into this or not. They'll always be the ones that kind of can validate this one way or another. And so Mullen's words may work with media folks in Gainesville, and it may work with Florida fans when they speak at halftime of an event like this. You know, that may work with all of them. But it does not seem to be working with the top recruits. Let me give you another example of that, this time from the class of 2021. James Williams, the five-star safety, dropped over the course of the weekend his top three finalists. Now, by the way, this makes Williams a little bit of an outlier in kind of the modern world of the 2021 class, where it seems like every big recruit that's dropped finalists has kind of given you a top 10 or a top 11 or something along those lines. But in the case of James Williams, it's just a top three. I think we've got Williams' tweet here. We'll show you that. You see the Alabama Crimson Tide. You see the Georgia Bulldogs right there in the middle, which is probably pretty good placement for the Georgia logo. And then off to the right side, you see the Clemson Tigers. What do you not see there? And listen, admittedly, as I said, there is probably a degree of trolling on this, but it's the number one player from the state of Florida. And you don't see the Florida Gators as a finalist for his services. Now, you also don't see Miami and Florida State, which is probably an issue for those two fan bases to deal with, those two programs to deal with. But around here, we mostly care about Florida, given the fact that's Georgia's rival in all of this. How is Florida closing the gap against Georgia and on its way to bringing back championships and all the things that Dan Mullen has said? How is Florida on the way to doing that if they can't even convince the elite recruits in their own state to give them the time of the day? The same way it didn't work out with Carson Beck and Jalen Carter and Warren Brinson a year ago, Marcus Roseme. It doesn't work out right now with James Williams either. So for Dan Mullen, who would have you believe all this great stuff about what Florida's about to do, the fact that the recruits inside the Sunshine State don't seem to be believing that, I think that's pretty telling all the way around, and probably a pretty good reminder of something we've said now quite a bit, that the gap in Mullen's mind between Georgia and Florida, it may be closing in his mind, but not necessarily closing on the field, and certainly not closing in recruiting, which is the ultimate predictor for what does happen on the field. By the way, while we're also on the subject of Florida Gators here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, let me also mention this. One of the listeners, viewers to our program, sent this to me on Twitter. I thought it was pretty interesting. Pro Football Focus putting out its list of, I guess, lucky and unlucky teams from this past year. Now, luck here is a kind of a, I guess, an offshoot of how statistically a team performed, how many wins you would expect them to have versus ultimately how many wins they did have. And one of the teams they highlighted, I'll show you the tweet here from Pro Football Focus, Florida Gators' luckiest team in 2019, they ask. And according to their stats, Florida should have only won a little bit more than seven games this past season, ultimately end up winning 11. But what the dudes over at Pro Football Focus end up writing, though, here ends up being really interesting. They say that Florida fans already aren't happy with us, ranking them 19th in our way too early 2021 rankings. So 19th, Pro Football Focus has Florida for the upcoming year. They go on to say they're probably not going to like this either. Kyle Trask was better than what we saw from Felipe Franks, but was still a below-average quarterback. Trask ranked among the 10 worst quarterbacks in both big-time throw and turnover play rate in 2019. That is Pro Football Focus casting a little bit of doubt on the upcoming year for the Florida Gators. Now, they also call them 2021 rankings. I guess they mean 2020 rankings. But nonetheless, you know what the deal there is. So apparently, at least one analytics site, not all that jazz about what Florida may do on the field this upcoming season. Now, I've said this before. The one area in which I will give Mullen and the Gators a little bit of credit is when it comes to playing bad teams, Florida was actually pretty good a year ago. I thought after losing to Georgia, they might lose their focus against a Vanderbilt or a Missouri or one of those teams they played late in the season. And to the Gators' credit, they didn't. Now, they also got some help in games like South Carolina with the officials and things like that. But ultimately, Florida was actually pretty good against the teams it was supposed to beat. But in terms of closing the gap against a team like Georgia, if you're not pulling elite recruits, if you're not competing with Georgia for those elite recruits, then you are not going to close the gap on the field. So for Georgia fans wondering how the SEC East is going to play out here in 2020, my best guess is it's more of the same. My best guess is the team with the better talent, that'd be Georgia, is also the team on top at the end of the year. And the cocktail party, I think, for Georgia fans is going to be a big party once again. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. It's great to have you with us no matter how you get to us today. Live on video, we are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we'll be up on YouTube. Apologize for the issues with the live stuff on that the last couple of days. We are working to get that fixed, and I am just so sorry we've had to deal with that. But we're glad to have you with us nonetheless, even if you're accessing us via a different platform than you normally would, especially for the live folks. Most of you don't watch the show live anyway. You watch it after the fact, so you may not be as impacted by that. But for the folks who like to tune in live, we love to have you because it gives us a chance to interact with you. We appreciate you accommodating us maybe a slightly different way. Of course, always on the radio with our friends in Athens on 960 The Ref. Great to be there at noon each and every day. And of course, podcast-wise, however you find them, we even post the show at theworldfamousdognation.com. We are just really glad to have you with us. And of course, Pella Window and Door of Georgia, they're the ones that make it all possible. You know, they can help equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. That matters. It could save you money on your heating bill, your energy bill. It certainly makes your house look attractive. It can increase the curb appeal, which is always a really nice thing. And they've got a great deal for you right now. Now, listen, this is a nationally known company, Pella Window and Door, but they've also got a branch right here in Georgia, which means you get local service, really the best of both worlds. And how about this offer right now? 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That offer is valid through March 12th, so make sure you take advantage of that. They offer the best lifetime warranty, top-of-the-line equipment, unparalleled expertise, coupled easy ways to get in touch online at PellaBranch.com. That's PellaBranch.com. Or you can give them a call in their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door of Georgia is viewed to be the best. We're going to get John Stinchcomb here coming up in just a moment. Before that, I want to go around the doghouse. And there's some interesting developments over the course of the last few days. And John's been a big part of this as part of the athletic board, having just met. And it certainly seems like the future for Greg McGarrity at UGA is still bright if he wants it to be. I'm going to give you some audio of McGarrity himself talking about this from an interview that we did about a little less than a year or so ago. But this past week, when the athletic board kind of got together, the subject of Greg McGarrity, who had been on a one-year deal, kind of came up. And University President Jerry Moorhead showing a lot of support to him via the AJC for this. Our buddy Chip Towers, the reporting on this. Here's the quote from Dr. Jerry Moorhead. "From my perspective, I think Greg and his team are doing an outstanding job. We'll certainly sit down and talk in the next several weeks, but I continue to have great confidence in our athletic director." That is Jerry Moorhead discussing the future of Greg McGarrity, who's been kind of operating on a one-year deal. As I said before, John Stinchcomb's a member of the athletic board. He was a part of these deliberations last week. We'll get some thoughts from him on the future of Greg McGarrity here coming up in just a moment. When I spoke to McGarrity, we interviewed him for Dog Nation. It was back like late spring, early summer, a little bit less than a year ago. I asked him at the time about, you know, what was it unusual in his mind to be kind of operating on kind of that one-year deal, short-term deal, where most of the athletic directors in the SEC are going to have a little bit more of a long-term type contract. Here is what McGarrity told us at that time.
"I think something that I was very comfortable with, it's the same deal that the president has. So I've always felt like it should be a year-to-year deal here. Our goal is here, we'll sit down and evaluate it at the end of maybe in January, February, just see how things are going, everything. But it gives everybody total flexibility instead of signing a long-term deal. And all of a sudden, if you decide that, you know, it's time to move on, it's the best way to handle it. I think it's certainly the way I'm very comfortable with it, and the president is as well. So he and I are basically on the same grounds as far as our contract."
Yeah, certainly McGarrity's words that President Moorhead is comfortable with this would seem to be validated by what Moorhead told the AJC going back to last week on this. I guess here's the one thing that's going to always kind of fascinate me about this is there seems to be a pretty big disconnect between how sometimes the average fan relates to the administration compared to how the people who are maybe a little bit higher on the food chain of stakeholders, whether it be, you know, high-ranking staff, members of the athletic board, you know, they seem to have a different opinion of McGarrity sometimes than the average fan does. Because if you go to message boards, if you see Twitter, things like that, sometimes you'll see some criticism of the UGA athletic department overall. And in some cases, you may even see some criticism of McGarrity's handling of that. This kind of coming from, you know, some Georgia fans from time to time for various reasons throughout the years. But when it comes to the people who seem to, you know, have the biggest stake in these decisions, you don't see that criticism coming from them. They seem to be very comfortable with McGarrity in the spot that he's in right now. And obviously, from a football standpoint, it would seem that Georgia's not been, it's been a long time since Georgia's been on firmer foundation than it is right now. Some of the other sports, obviously, maybe leaving a little something to be desired. But in terms of McGarrity's role in all of this, it doesn't appear to be being publicly questioned at all by university president, athletic board people, and, you know, some of those key, tastemakers that would ultimately decide the future of this. Also, as McGarrity kind of figures out all of this out, and apparently the ball is in his court to be able to do that, Georgia's in the process of unveiling some new renderings for a beautiful new football facility that really you know, challenges with this arms race of facilities that seems to be going on around college football, especially in the SEC. When I spoke to McGarity last year, I asked him, was he sure he'd be here for the full duration of this project to oversee that? And here's what McGarity said then.
We don't know the timelines yet. You know, we're going through that right now. Matter of fact, I think that's one thing that even though there's no shovels in the ground, there is a tremendous amount of work almost every day on getting everything set the way that the football staff would like it. And, you know, this will have Kirby's fingerprints all over it. But I know he's excited about it. He wants it done tomorrow. But there are a lot of dynamics involved. But I'll say this, once it's completed, it's going to be certainly the best in the country.
Well, certainly we know more about this now than we knew then. We've learned some of this based on what was going on there last week. So we'll get some thoughts from John Stinchcomb on this and just kind of the role that Athletic Director Greg McGarity plays in this process right now. It's an interesting time for UGA Athletics. As I said before, the situation with football would seem to have been as good as it has been. Some of the other sports maybe leaving a little something to be desired all the way around on that, yet votes of confidence all around when it comes to the job that McGarity is doing right now. So let's find out more about that. It's good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We'll speak to John Stinchcomb right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Always fun to have John Stinchcomb here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, especially when we get a chance to do a Marlowe's Tavern insider update. Had a great opportunity to have a delicious lunch at a Marlowe's Tavern this past week. And, man, you want to talk about just house-made magic. That's what Marlowe's is kind of bringing to the forefront here for this upcoming season. I'm going to tell you more about that here over the course of the time of our conversation. But let me first welcome in John to the program. John, thanks for being here as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. Hope you had a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to talking some Georgia football with you.
Absolutely, and I was right there with you. I missed our Thursday night at Marlowe's, so I took the family over there yesterday just because I was having some fish taco craving.
There you
go. Marlowe's does it right.
Yeah, no doubt about that, John. I'm glad you got a little satiated on that appetite with that. It sounds really good. Let me begin with this. You were part of the athletic board meetings last week, and obviously the big thing to kind of come out of that is the continued support that, whether it be President Moorhead, folks like you on the board, continue to show to Greg McGarity. And obviously from one vantage point, there is really good reason to do that. Football program's doing well. Athletic department seems to be raking in the cash, which is a really important thing. And what I also find fascinating about this, John, is when it comes to the average fan, sometimes there can be a little bit of a disconnect, you know, maybe source of criticism on message boards and things like that. Is that for the reason that I've suggested in the past, that sometimes the active administration is just unpopular, having to say no to certain things, whether it be beer in stadiums or better tickets for people who've been, you know, giving money for a long time or whatever else? Is it just the nature of the job that's going to render it sort of, you know, certain decisions unpopular over the course of the time? What do you make of what can be a little bit of a divide sometimes between the feelings of an average fan about the athletic department and the feeling of the people who are maybe a little closer to that process, a little bit more plugged into what's going on?
I think you're always going to have naysayers. You're going to have critics no matter what. There's never going to be a position or a figure who fills it that is going to please everybody. From where I sit, there's so much positive going on at the University of Georgia. It's really hard to ignore all the pros that our athletic department has been able to spearhead and initiate. You mentioned a couple of them. I mean, athletically, we're thriving in a number of areas. The football team is probably at the forefront, and it's your bell cow. All sports are important, but we're talking about the fiscal soundness of your program across the board, and that's going to be based solely on football for most places. And I don't think Georgia is an exception to that rule. And right now, things are good. You look at the past 4 years or so since Coach Smart's been there, and you have to be pleased with where we're at. I mean, there's still, we haven't had that national championship yet, but you have to feel like there's so much positive there that we're in the right zone. Financially, you compare it to other programs, and we are doing really, really well facilities-wise, which has been a major critique for a number of years. We're catching up in spaces that we were way behind. You look at the indoor facility, we're the last in the SEC. That was a problem. We've addressed it. And by we, the University of Georgia, the athletic department in general, and that's all under the helm of Greg McGarrity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, obviously there are certain athletic departments out there in big-time college sports that seem to sort of teeter on the brink of solvency from time to time. That's obviously not been the case for Georgia. And yet, as you mentioned, in some cases, you know, Georgia was a little slow in getting an indoor facility or a little slow in getting this or getting that, the new football building that we'll talk more about in a moment. It certainly seems like there's been an acceleration over the course of the Kirby Smart era and kind of how things like that get done. And I imagine for yourself, a stakeholder that cares a lot about football, the fact that you see this aggressive approach now to making sure that Georgia has what these other programs are having, that is probably a nice thing to be able to say about Georgia right now, is it not?
Winning is the best recruiter, and we're talking about athletes. We're also talking about donors. So if you're fired up about Coach Smart and playing in the Rose Bowl and being in an SEC championship game year in and year out, then it's a little easier to receive that phone call or sit down with Matt Borman when he's knocking on your door saying, hey, how would you like to be a part of the McGill Society? Well, when things are good, that's your best recruiter. And people are willing to answer those things, and the lens has changed. The perspective is more of a positive one that people see things through. So when you're saying, hey, we're going to spend $80 million to expand this facility, people can get on board with that and have. I mean, the goal was to raise half of it and use the funds in hand to fund the other $40 million, and they've already raised $47 million, which is past their goal, or you know, it's pledged for that direction.
So as a part of the athletic board of directors, when you guys met last week, you also learned a little bit more about these new facilities that are on the way and kind of what the weight room is going to look like, what the building itself is going to look like. For the average fan who may not have had a chance to kind of see a lot of these artist renderings and kind of hear about this process up until now, would you mind kind of telling us where we are along this process, your own feelings about what it's going to do for Georgia, and just a description of what it's going to look like if you want to?
Well, I think we've had really good facilities, but they're dated, and you look around the top 10, if you will, of facilities, and we haven't been up there. I think what we have planned, one, it's functional, but it's also, a big piece of it is recruiting and maintaining that prestige that should come along with the University of Georgia. I mean, there are things that are more luxurious than necessary. But we're talking about an athletic department and an SEC. You know, most departments are dealing with budgets in the range of $170+ million annually. So having top-notch facilities seems like a priority that Georgia should address, and they are. They're on schedule. I've seen a number of the renderings since the inception, and I like it just because it's not, you know, we're not trying to create Disneyland of Athens. you look at some of these places, and how much function are you going to get out of a lazy river? You know, those kind of things.
Right. Yeah, I don't want the word lazy anywhere near attached to my football program, John.
Yeah, no kidding. I think with the strength staff over there, they make sure to beat that out of you, any laziness.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I know you know a good bit about real estate, and that's a subject I'm interested in as well. And when you watch on video the kind of artist rendering of this, and you see, you know, for most people, they don't really kind of know the footprint of that, you know, football facility as it stands now, athletic facility. But that small field, not even 100 yards long, that the kickers use to practice on, it's right behind the track. It's kind of right next to the indoor facility. It's just a pretty small patch of grass all the way around. The fact that that's where this is going to be built, I'm sort of fascinated by that. It's almost like a skyscraper in downtown New York City type of thing, where you're having to really squeeze in a pretty big building into a pretty small, you know, plot of land. You know, UGA NCAA, like a lot of these college campuses around the SEC, they're a little bit landlocked. These are, you know, these are campuses that are making use of every blade of grass they have. In Georgia, as a both university and as an athletic department, that's something that's probably been true there. It's kind of fascinating to me how big of a building they're about to build on a, all things being considered, a pretty small piece of land.
I'm with you, and you know, the only question you have is for parking,
right? Yeah, no
because
doubt.
The facility that they're talking about or in the process of constructing, it's impressive. And you're right. I mean, you think, man, they found a lot of space that was underutilized. I can appreciate the Kickers need their own or would like their own space, but they're still afforded such luxuries, and they're adding, you know, tens of thousands of square footage in usable space that, you know, is going to be state-of-the-art and top level across the nation. So it is impressive that they were able to identify this section of land in connection with what's already there. And, you know, that's another piece. You know, you look 3 years ago with the indoor facility being built. God, it's probably even more than that, probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And the team is having to bus back and forth for practice,
yeah.
And you know, just the displacement of it was such an inconvenience. And now they're able to construct this brand new facility in right next to where they currently stand, and still be able to meet in their meeting rooms, and still be able to practice on their practice field. I think that's a major advantage over what other teams have endured and what Georgia endured just a few years back.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update with John Stinchcomb. John mentioned before getting a chance to go to the tavern in his neighborhood enjoying some of those fish tacos. And that's some of the great menu items that Marlowe's has. And when we talk about house-made magic, you may say, what does that really even mean? It means if you're getting a cocktail, you know, the juices that you're going to be using, something like they're going to be fresh squeezed. You know, the ingredients, there's no microwave here. You know, everything is house-made. You know, everything is homemade. Everything is kind of done right there in-house by the chefs there at Marlowe's. And, you know, each tavern has its own chef. It's kind of creating its own special concoctions. And obviously when I go to Marlowe's Tavern, I've got a few personal favorites that I like to hit, whether it be, you know, the shrimp and grits or things like that. But one of the things that's also fun, too, is to kind of try something new for the first time. You know, I had lunch there at the Brookhaven location last week, and I'd never had the turkey meatloaf before. It's kind of a cool day and kind of a good day for something like that. And it was amazing. It was a revelation, to be honest with you. And so, you know, when you check out the tavern there in your neighborhood, you're going to have your own special favorites. But every now and then, it's kind of nice to kind of branch out and see what house-made magic can do for a menu item you might not be quite as familiar with. We're huge fans of Marlowe's Tavern here on our program. John, before you join us, and listen, I was very honest about this. I try to be forthcoming. Every now and then, I do like to troll at the expense of the Florida Gators. I like to kind of poke at them when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm not a perfect person. I try to be a good person, but good's about all I can strive for. There's certain things that I just enjoy that the perfect person would not enjoy. And making fun of Florida is one of those things. And, you know, I'm reminded of Dan Mullen, who says, hey, we're closing the gap on Georgia. You know, we're only 7 points away, or, you know, promising all these championships. And yet, when you look at what's not happening for the Gators in recruiting, you know, once again, the top prospect in the state of Florida doesn't include Florida among his recently released list of finalists. When you kind of see all this kind of stuff going on, you know, I'm just not quite so sure that that Florida is as big of a threat to Georgia in the immediate future as Mullen thinks they are. Now, that's not to say that Georgia doesn't have challengers. Obviously, having to play Alabama this year is a very difficult regular season game. I don't think Auburn's going anywhere anytime soon, despite some, you know, transition for that program. But some of the hype for Florida, for me, is just a little bit difficult to believe. When you kind of think, and this is obviously still kind of broad strokes because we're still very early into the offseason here. When you kind of think of, like, legit challengers and threats to Georgia, you know, how high on that list would you put Florida right now?
Well, I don't want to sound mealy-mouthed, but I'd say they're the biggest threat out of the East, and they're still not close.
Yeah,
I think they've done a lot of good things. I think if I were Dan Mullen, I would be saying the exact same thing. What else are you going to tell your fan base?
Yeah.
You know, well, the gap has remained the same. Of course not. I mean, they have to beat that drum. He needs to at least fake it till he makes it of – we are the biggest threat. We're going to give Georgia a race for the East. Otherwise, you know, you lose that base. And Florida, like it or not, they're a very proud team and organization and university. So for them to have to swallow the pill of inferiority to Georgia, which candidly they are right now, they refuse to do it. And I would probably be the same way. I think, BA, you don't want to talk about it, but we probably were the same way a decade and a half ago of wanting something that we probably weren't. We wanted to be at that same level, and I think at times we were close, but we were saying things that probably weren't backed up by the production on the field and in the recruiting trail, and I think it showed at times. So I understand what they're doing, but I'm with you. I don't think they've closed the gap, and I think Coach Smart was pretty quick to identify that maybe one of the weaknesses in offensive productivity could allow for such talk to have some substance, and we addressed that pretty quickly, not only in personnel, but in the staff that leads them.
Well, John, it's always a great pleasure to get a chance to talk to you, get your insight on the things happening at UGA as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Updater. Really appreciate your time. Hope you have a great week, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Go Dawgs.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
You always get the Go Dawgs there at the end from John Stinchcomb, and I always really enjoy that. Before we do our cruiser in the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean, let me mention something that Corey Ellison said on Facebook a moment ago. We're talking about, you know, challengers to Georgia in the East and where Florida kind of ranks on that. And he says, never underestimate South Carolina and something like this. And I guess this is the point that I'm trying to get to. And this is not me, I hope, doing the same thing to Georgia fans that Mullen tries to do with Florida fans of, you know, big talk you can't back up, things like that. When I say that I don't view Florida as a legitimate threat to Georgia, and recruiting for me is a big reason why that's true, but when I say that, it's not necessarily the same thing as saying I don't think that Georgia has any threats whatsoever. You know, John said that he thinks that Florida may be Georgia's number one threat in the East and that it's still not a very close gap. I understand where he's coming from on that. But here's what I'm really curious to see about this upcoming season. That may very well be that the gap between Florida and the rest of the East is as great as the gap I see between Georgia and Florida. That may very well be true. But my gosh, by the end of the year on the field, Tennessee would seem to be telling a different story than that. And as Corey Ellison mentioned on Facebook, South Carolina, you know, on that same Pro Football Focus story about Florida being quote-unquote lucky this year, getting more wins than their stats would have suggested, they also had South Carolina as a little bit unlucky. Better stats than the overall, what, 4-8 record would suggest. You can take that with a grain of salt. You cannot even believe that at all. You have the right to do that. But I have a hard time believing that the presence of Mike Bobo at South Carolina won't make that team a little tougher to beat. There's still some talent on defense, even though guys like Javon Kinlaw are leaving the program. I wonder what the SEC East underneath Florida is starting to do. You know, if you look at the final recruiting rankings, Tennessee actually closed the gap pretty good on Florida by the time the cycle was done. This geographic advantage that that Florida should have over Tennessee in recruiting, you don't see a lot of evidence of that playing out in terms of the actual results in recruiting right now. And as I said before, South Carolina just hired a pretty big time offensive coordinator, won a couple of key recruiting battles. Watch that Tennessee South Carolina, a group of teams in the SEC East. Let's see if they do kind of close the gap on Florida. Let's see if that pecking order gets muddled here a little bit. I think that's a good point by Corey on Facebook, and obviously we'll take more of your comments throughout the day here. For now, though, let's go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And one of the things that I hear the most about when it comes to folks getting excited about going on a Royal Caribbean vacation are the fact that their cruise ships are the only ones that go to Perfect Day Coco Cay. And a lot of you by now have kind of familiarized yourself with what that is. You know about that. It's the private island, that great getaway right there in the Bahamas. It's only for Royal Caribbean ships. And there's kind of a thrill side and a chill side. And for many of you, you like the action, you like the adventure, the thrill side provides, whether it be the Conquer, Daredevil's Peak, the North America's tallest water slide, that's there. You got Adventure Pool with an obstacle course kind of there. Splash Away Bay, which is, you know, kind of a little bit more for kids. They got all these different slides for them, there for them. Huge wave pool, largest in the Caribbean. I mean, you've got unbelievable opportunities just to enjoy yourself and have a good time. A Perfect Day Coco Cay provides that. I've heard the food there is absolutely fantastic. You got your own food situation while you're on the on the island. I've heard it's delicious. So it's just a great chance to be a part of a great experience. Perfect Day Coco Cay. Check out your travel advisor for more on that, or contact my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. Number 800-326-4971. That's right. Dial 800-326-4971 for the Cruise and Vacation Authority and tell them you heard about them right here with us on Dog Nation Daily. So more recruiting news here for a moment. I said this off the top. James Williams, the five-star safety, dropping a top three, makes him a little bit of an outlier. You've had Amarius Mims and others, including now Jaden Thomas. They're all dropping the top 11s right now. Let me see. Yeah, Jaden Thomas there with the top 11. Georgia is in this group. Now, I don't know what you do with this. Georgia is second row, second from the right. Virginia Tech, Michigan, LSU, Tennessee, Arkansas, Bama, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Florida, Ohio State, also the finalists. In the message that Thomas put out there, he obviously goes to Pace Academy. He's trained by Terrence Edwards. We saw Edwards be a big impact for Justin Robinson, Jermaine Burton from the class of 2020. Will Edwards also have some sway? And obviously, listen, ultimately Terrence just wants these guys to be at the best place for them, but he is a UGA grad, and so presumably it does sort of help you a little bit with some of these guys when they work with Terrence Edwards. And he mentioned Edwards by name in his message when he dropped his top 11. I'm here for like the double digit list of finalists. I think that's really fun, and I think that Jaden Thomas is certainly a prospect to watch here for the 2021 cycle. Georgia part of that top 11 right now. A couple other Cruiser on the SEC stories. I saw where Ed Orgeron, and if you're watching on Twitter, you can see this, or I should say Twitter or Facebook, you can see this. He comes out in the LSU jersey. He's going to throw out the first pitch at is it Alex Box Stadium? Is that the place where LSU plays its baseball? One of the things I like about Orgeron here, and I think that throwing out ceremonial first pitches is a real tell. You can sort of tell who's, you know, serious and who's not. Watch Orgeron in a minute for those of you watching on video. And normally we try not to do too much, you know, video heavy content, but in this case there's a point I want to make. So Orgeron is going to bounce the ball here, but the best I can tell, he spits on the baseball before he throws it. He is towing the rubber here. So Orgeron pitching from the mound 60 feet 6 inches away, he gets a little bit of a bounce before you get to home plate, but he immediately goes arm in the air declaring victory. This is a very alpha way to throw out a first pitch. I mean, that's just my best description for Orgeron right now. I think he's a pretty alpha-ish head coach in the SEC. By comparison, he makes Nick Saban look small. He makes Gus Malzahn look sort of dweeby. You know, Orgeron just kind of he kind of has that swagger going on right now. That was probably true even before he won the national championship, and now that you've got the trophy, you've got even more of that. He's obviously beloved in Baton Rouge. So a pretty good little video there of Orgeron throwing out that first pitch. He did bounce it, but he was man enough to at least throw from the rubber, so you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. I saw where Tennessee published a video the other day of quarterback Jared Garantano kind of talking about some unfinished business and feeling comfortable there in Tennessee, in Knoxville, getting a chance to work with the same offensive coordinator for a second year in a row with Jim Chaney there. He's feeling pretty good about that. That was a part of an official video that Tennessee put out. It's interesting that they're going to highlight Garantano right now, and Garantano's going to say these kinds of things. Obviously, there's an assumption among many that by the end of the year, at least, if not at the very beginning of the season, we may see at Tennessee what we've seen at other SEC programs, including, like, say, Auburn a year ago, the reins given over to a true freshman. Harrison Bailey from Marietta High School, that's a guy that's got some accolades during his high school career. This may be his job eventually, but at least reading between the lines on Jared Garantano and the video released by the Vols, he's not ready to give up on that just yet. He's got some big plans for the upcoming season, his final year, by the way, there in Knoxville. So that Tennessee quarterback battle should be pretty interesting to see. And then one more thing, Travis Williams, one of the Auburn assistants, looks like, according to Brandon Marcello, 24/7 Sports, about to get that title of recruiting coordinator there with the Tigers. So you got a little bit of a shuffling with that staff. Guys getting raises, you know, some guys moving on. You saw the offensive line coach J.B. Grimes leave not too long ago. So we're in that kind of time of year where in some cases guys are moving from one job to the other, or guys are getting additional titles. So a little bit of a coaching shift going on there at Auburn. That's probably worth paying attention to. For now, we'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, before we wrap things up today, I want to make sure we give a shout out to the Diamond Dogs. Great start to their season with a 3-game sweep over the Richmond Spiders here this weekend. Kind of an easy one on Sunday. Friday and Saturday were pretty drama filled all the way around. You had to have some late inning heroics for Scott Strickland's team to kind of get that done. So that was a great thing to be able to see. I think this baseball season is going to be really fun. This is a team that in some cases is going to be bringing some new faces to bear, but you know, you still got Emerson Hancock and some of these well-known guys from a year ago kind of leading as a part of the nucleus of this. This is, by any way you slice it, one of the best teams in America. They got off to a good start. I think they play Kennesaw on Wednesday, I think. We're still a little ways away from like SEC play and things like that, but I get the impression the Diamond Dogs going to be pretty fun to watch here this upcoming year, and this weekend was certainly an example of that. A lot of you saw these games on SEC Plus, or you listen to the games with our friends over at 960 The Ref. So a good start to the Diamond Dog season here. Spring in full swing here. Lots of UGA athletics teams involved here, whether it be, of course, the basketball team took another loss, Texas A&M on Saturday, but you get the golf team out in Puerto Rico having a good time. So we're kind of definitely in that sort of zone where you got a lot of different UGA athletics teams doing some big things. Softball off to a great start, and Diamond Dogs there as well. Love this time of year. And I guess I should also mention this. So I'm not the world's biggest track and field expert. I've told y'all that before. But this Matthew Bowling man is really pretty amazing. More record-setting performances for him. That's the kind of thing that kind of puts track and field on the radar in a way that probably otherwise would not have been before. Even someone like me, who admittedly doesn't always know a ton about the Olympic sports, even someone like me is kind of going to raise an eyebrow when you see some of the things that he's doing. So it's not football season, but there are still a good number of things going on around campus there in Athens. So shout out to the Diamond Dogs and Matthew Bowling and everybody else making it a fun weekend for UGA athletics. So I'll also finish with this. I think one of the things that may be interesting is watching what's about to happen with Charlie Strong, of course, former Texas head coach, guy that's kind of bounced around, been defense coordinator in the NFL, in the SEC. We may be seeing some movement with him in terms of landing a job here pretty soon. There was a lot of message board stuff about that. The Florida message board's kind of doing some stuff, Alabama message boards. This is going to be one to watch to see where Charlie Strong lands here coming up in the days ahead. That should be worth paying attention to. And for now, here on our program, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, we shall finish where we started by letting you know 1,206 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. That's good news here on Dog Nation Daily. I'll also tell you, Friday, February 28th, we're going to be at the Atlanta International Auto Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. Come on by and see us, or go to goautoshow.com for more details. That's goautoshow.com. We will see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.